You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber-supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well. This movie review also comes for subscribers at Time Lord level or above, an uncut, unedited, longer video version of the review. Become a subscriber and check it out.
Having just watched Malcolm and Marie literally a couple hours ago, I really kept on thinking the entire time about that Vincent Price movie, Theater of Blood. For Nathan, Vincent Price was an actor.
You may know him from Thriller.
He did a lot of horror films from the...
Oh, fuck off, dude.
Yeah, Theater of Blood was a Vincent Price movie from the 70s, and it's about this Shakespearean actor who, played by Price, who was really pissed off that all of his Shakespeare performances were panned by the critics, and so he spent the entire film killing them all in very Shakespearean methods. And I kept on thinking about that because I think that, honestly, for any of those critics, they went out easy compared to the slaughtering that is this film that we all had to endure, which is Malcolm and Marie. I'm Frank, and with me, I've got Alex.
Hi there.
Nathan.
Hola.
And Gianmarco.
Hey, happy Black History Month. So, Malcolm and Marie is the highly anticipated Netflix quarantine movie starring two of Hollywood's youngest phenoms. We, of course, have the lovely Zendaya, and we have, of course, Son of the Throne, John David Washington, and directed and written by Sam Levinson, who is behind Euphoria and Assassination Nation, which I didn't like that much, but that's not important. Malcolm and Marie is about this young couple. They come back from a premiere. Malcolm, of course, played by John David Washington, is an aspiring filmmaker. Marie, Zendaya, is his tumultuous partner. We see them after a night out of town. And what starts as an anthill quickly becomes almost a two-hour avalanche of emotions, both good and bad, but mostly bad. And just a dissection of just two fucked up people who are madly in love and madly in hate.
Also, an avalanche is over a lot faster than this movie.
Oh, yes.
Did anybody else? I don't know that much of Sam Levinson's work. I've seen his debut, which is something called Another Happy Day with Ezra Miller and Demi Moore and a lot of people. And that was pretty hella depressing. It was about a former addict who goes to her estranged daughter's wedding, and her son is really weird and he's kind of high and mother issues and all that shit. And Demi Moore is like a stepmother who thinks she's holier than thou, even though she's kind of a hoe. But it got a 46% on Rotten Tomatoes, and so I'm only wondering if he channeled some of that into this, because man, this dude, this main character, the protagonist, is just like so I don't think I've seen a more bitter character on screen in the last decade.
That's a very polite way to say a more annoying character on screen in the past decade.
They're both incredibly whiny and insufferable. And I'm one of those people that anybody knows me knows I don't need to have a relatability or likability in a character as long as they're interesting. There's absolutely nothing interesting about these characters whatsoever. I don't know how you guys felt about them.
The most interesting thing about these characters to me is that Zendaya plays one of them. She really, she should get a lot of credit for this movie, because she managed to not only take Sam Levinson's words and really make them sing, but also take Sam Levinson's career and really elevate it to a higher level than it probably should be. So earlier in the midst of this pandemic that we're facing, Alex had me watch Euphoria, which is a show I, for the most part, liked. It felt very CW teen drama-y, but Sam Levinson, creator, showrunner, his writing is the biggest weakness of this film. Every line that comes out of Malcolm's mouth sounds like it's written by a director's son.
There are a bunch of like shitty second generation filmmakers out there.
Well, I love Jason Reitman's work for the most part.
You're right about this script, and every movie has that aha moment, that line that just cinches it all up. And this film, I feel, is like packed with those kinds. The ones that are intended to be that sort of like, aha, this is what it all means. This is the heart of this film. This scene right here and what they're saying right now is what it's all about. And it's like every other scene has, or fuck it, every scene has that goal. And it becomes just exhausting.
You took the words out of my mouth, Frank. I was going to say, well, I'm going to first off say I was a bit kinder to this film because, as a fan of Euphoria, I kind of know what I'm getting into whenever I expect a Sam Levinson project. So when it came to those huge monologues, I was like, oh, okay, Levinson's feeling himself right now. But to get back on Frank's point of exhausting, it was just like, because the whole movie's a fight. It's like only 2 hours, but the whole movie's a fight. But there's like little brief moments of bliss. And, you know, they're kissing and it's happy and there's love. And then one character will ask a question and I'll just be like, oh, fuck, what now?
I know. It's like waking up a hibernating animal and they're both doing it to each other.
They should have just fucking went to bed. They should have just went to sleep after premiere.
Zendaya, I don't want to spoil it for people, but Zendaya asks a specific question and it's so funny because John David was so happy. But you can just see his mood change. He's posting on the wall, just like his eye rolls. He's just like, yeah, what's up, Marie? He's like, oh shit, here was the Grand Theft Auto theme. Oh shit, here we go again. That's pretty much this movie.
And midway through, we're saying the same thing because it's like we just know neither one of them can like let it go. And I think that they're both so, in different ways, both ego driven. In fact, it made me laugh hardcore when he said, didn't he say like, oh, I don't have an ego or something to that effect? Didn't he say like, or self-awareness, clearly.
And I'm pretty sure this is the popular opinion. Zendaya is fucking awesome in this. As far as the Disney alumni game goes, she's pretty much got one. She's like, you know, youngest Emmy winner in history right now. And even her little bit parts in Spider-Man and Greatest Showman, you know, that's cute. But just seeing her evolve from Euphoria, well, she commands this film, basically. It's damn near a one-woman show at some points where she gets off on her, you know, she Nathan said, she knows how to work Sam Levinson's words very well.
Her performance is also more carefully measured. And I don't know if because she just has less freak out moments than he does. She's more in sync with like the mm-hmm. tone. And I guess with the character, mm-hmm. I think he's more of he approaches it from a more theatrical standpoint. Like, oh, I just got to let her rip in this scene.
Yeah, I'm Denzel, son. I got to show him.
Yeah, where she's more precise, right. I feel.
It's very, that's a good way to put it. She's very meticulous about her craft so far. So,
Alex, this isn't like class where you get to sit in the corner and keep your head down. I want to ask you questions. What did you think about this?
Very early on in the movie, Marie says, I promise you nothing productive is going to be said tonight. And that pretty much summed it up for me. The momentum of this movie was like ungodly uncomfortable because it starts at a fucking 11 and then it tries to stay at an 11 for the whole movie. There was no like buildup of emotion. It was just fucking there.
It was just like a touching a hot stove. Just like, oh, okay, so soon. Like, we're going into this right now.
There's a lot to unpack, and it's unfortunate that not a lot of it is that interesting.
Like, the more interesting parts of their character that are just like casually mentioned in the middle of a tirade are the things that should be dissected mm-hmm. instead of film criticism.
Do you know when a movie like gives you like so much, like where a movie can be genuinely interesting, but then it just piles more and more on. You think, well, I can't, this is too much for me. This is too much work in terms of just like trying to like even give it my full attention, because it's like trying to shine a spotlight on too many things. And it becomes too jumbled and too messy. That it's not even worth, at the end of the day, just really, truly engaging with on a one-on-one level. And that's what I felt with this.
So for me, I low-key hated the fuck out of this movie for the most part. I'm not going to lie. I love movies like Before Midnight. Shit. Marriage Story just what, 2 years ago now? Which, hey, you want to feel old? That was 2 years ago now. I never in this movie really felt them as a couple so much as I felt more of John David Washington's relationship with this film that we've never seen than their relationship as a couple. Most of this movie is spent with him very much being used as a puppet to say a lot of the issues that Sam Levinson has with critics, which, you know, I'm a critic, so you will immediately probably listen to this and roll your fucking eyes at me. That's whatever. But there's a way to write about film criticism in a film that works. Ratatouille does it well. Chef does it well. Hell, Birdman even on the other side. And the thing is, you said in the beginning, talking about that Vincent Price film where it has to do with bad reviews, he's not even talking about bad reviews to his movie. He's talking about a glowing positive review that he felt was non-genuine. That is laid out in the beginning that he is an asshole to a degree. But the way by which he constantly brings up this review just came off to me as like, seriously, dude, your life is this fucking difficult right now?
His storyline reminded me of two things when it came to, you know, the director poking fun at criticism. Do you guys remember the 90s Godzilla where Roland Emmerich had a whole fucking, was it Roger Ebert?
It was Siskel and Ebert. It was Mayor Ebert or something like that. Yeah, Harry Shearer played one of those. It was Harry Shearer and Michael Lerner in those roles. Yeah.
And it reminded me of, and this is like a small part, but it just reminded me of the part I hate about Spider-Man 3 where MJ was kind of like bitching about her reviews and Peter was trying their best, like, you know, like, oh, it's not that bad. She's like, you don't understand. So I got that same kind of vibe. And
I got the Godzilla one, and then I also got, I started thinking back to Lady in the Water.
Yeah. Oh, it's very Lady in the Water. Oh, damn. My God. Thank you, Frank. Alex put it very eloquently when we were talking about this movie. We're still talking about this movie. But the idea of a fight and a conversation between others having momentum and certain things, there are usually seeds for an argument coming in. That happens all throughout Marriage Story. That happens all throughout Before Midnight, which, you know, it's, I hate to keep leveling the praise of those two movies, which I greatly enjoy and love.
But those have interesting characters.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the characters are actively trying not to fight. In this, the only time John David Washington is not trying to fight is when he's trying to fuck.
I don't know if it was a problem for you guys, but it just sort of felt weird. So I'm 24. Zendaya is the same age as me. John David Washington, fucking 36 years old. And he's talking about like experiences they had, like, shit, what, like 5 years ago? I'm like, so what, when she was like 18 or some shit, like 19?
There's nothing in the role that's not believable for a 24 year old woman. I don't know of Zendaya's past, whatever. I don't know anything about her past. Like, I just barely until like last week I found out she was a child star. I was the same age she is when I was in a long-term relationship with someone who was 10 years older than me. And so that really didn't, and of course that was in America. In America, we have that 21st century Puritanism, which is only getting stronger in the age of wokeness. So I don't know. And I know people have been commenting on that a lot. It's not really anything relevant to the story. I mean, it wouldn't have made it a better story if she was older.
I disagree, only in the sense that I feel like the way how she talks about their relationship, it seems like one that is more long term. And it feels like, you know, at least it wants to be a mature relationship. And at this rate, I'm like playing mental math with myself on the actual like age that both of them would be.
But see, there's no reason to do that.
But it's just something that my brain did throughout, and it was just a gripe that I had.
Yeah, it's your hang-up, and it's a lot of people. It's a lot of people's hang-ups. They're bringing up this and another issue they're bringing up. This is such a throwaway issue, to be honest, the age thing. A lot of people actually have been kind of upset that Sam Levinson wrote a story about a black filmmaker being frustrated about the way he's perceived as a black filmmaker.
John Singleton.
Right.
Well, there's one line that he says that really like upset me where he's like, when they were making movies, they weren't trying to be political. I'm like,
yeah, they were.
what is Boys of the Hood if not a fucking Yeah, they even bring it back at him, and he's like, well, they're doing politics before politics were cool. I'm like,
you think what? Sam Levinson watched Do the Right Thing? It was like, those people are very hot and very upset. There's probably nothing more to this.
When Malcolm goes on that rant about why can't I make a movie that's not political just because I'm a black filmmaker, it made me think about how just like a week ago I watched One Night in Miami, and that whole movie is four men talking about how everything they do is political because they're black.
This is just a minuscule thing to me. Why'd they throw the Lego movie under the bus? What did the Lego movie do to you, Sam Levinson? That movie's incredible.
I didn't get that. I'm going to be honest. I did not get why they did it and why they did it repeatedly.
If it was the Emoji Movie, I'd be like, all right, that's fair. But the Lego Movie?
When John David Washington is like, everybody's comparing me to Spike Lee. Why can't they compare me to William Wyler? I kind of like dissociated a little bit and was like, damn, you're pretentious as fuck, dude.
And we also get George Cukor name dropped. And yeah,
really, what this movie feels like is like an 18-year-old's final thesis in film school, more so than
yes.
anything. It just rings of so much pretentious energy to it.
This is a film thesis. You're right. You're totally right.
Totally. And
yeah.
I mean, is there any reason for it to be shot in black and white other than the pretentious atmosphere behind it being shot in black and white?
I thought the black and white was kind of pretty. I'm not going to lie. I like the black and white.
Thank God. Thank God something about this film worked. And yeah, it was that. But I think it was just that. Anyway, I think we should probably like wrap it and head into our final thoughts. Yeah, DeMarco, do you want to go ahead and get us started?
Yeah, so I'm going to be the guy who liked the movie today. And I'm not just saying it because of my respective admiration of the two leads who I wish go far and do better projects than this. But let's start with the pros. The pros, Zendaya's performance was great. John David Washington he holds his own, even though it is getting ridiculous. He's kind of a caricature of like a exasperated filmmaker. And I will say this, there are certain moments that, like, as a guy who writes scripts, shameless plug, there are certain moments where I was watching and I'm like, is this gonna be me in 20 years? Because there's a certain line, I don't want to give it away, but there's a certain line in Zendaya, there's a certain question Zendaya asks that, like, as a guy, I'm like, it just made my heart sound like, oh my god, if my partner ever asked me that, if you guys know what I'm talking about. But the cinematography is gorgeous. It's exhausting. Yeah, that's the word I can say. I think we can all agree that it's just, after a while, you just kind of want them to kiss and make up. And then you kind of realize there is no way in hell these people are going to kiss and make up. Like, the movie should have been a vine of, like, Malcolm is like, hey, Marie, I'm sorry. If this should have been over, like, 5 seconds. But with all that being said, Zendaya's performance is really like the nail in the coffin that made me keep watching. And so I'm going to give this an enthusiastic 6.5 bowls of mac and cheese.
Nice. I'm also going to give this movie 6.5 shots of Zendaya lounging while he rants in the background. Comes as no surprise that Sam Levinson's work is visually appealing and wants to reach the inner cores of human beings, and then, I don't know, gets a little too ham-fisted and angry. Doing a little research, I have a question for you, Frank. During this movie, Sam Levinson's words through the mouth of John David Washington, saying he doesn't want to make things that are political, like biopics, he wrote a biopic about Bernie Madoff called The Wizard of Lies. I know you've seen it because it has Michelle Pfeiffer. He wrote that and his dad directed it. Yeah, I was going to ask if his writing seemed really political in that.
Well, I mean, it's hard not to take a stance when it's writing about fucking Bernie Madoff. His dad directed that, so you know he was like, you got to change that, Sammy. I don't want that line in there. You know, I mean, come on, yeah.
Sammy, I don't like this line.
Fuck, guys. I really did not like this movie. All right, I'll just give you guys the rating. Fuck you, DeMarco, for taking my rating thing.
You can say, like, you can say White Lady LA Times Reviews.
Because I was going to say John David Washington angrily eating macaroni and cheese, and now I don't know where to go with this. I would give this 3 out of 10 White Lady New York Times reviews, this movie just, I tune out with pretentious movies, especially when I feel like they don't have too much to say. And this movie really didn't have much to say. You know, it feels really bad since this was shot in the midst of a pandemic that this is like all you have to say about the relationships between others. It's like, dude, can you shut the fuck up about your film for 2 seconds? I think this movie would have been a lot stronger had they maybe opened at the premiere. And had like seeds for the argument. Maybe that was like pre-pandemic planning, but it rang so inauthentic. The performances are great, though. I think that this is probably the second best work John David Washington has ever done. I think Black Klansman is just fucking awesome. Zendaya is amazing in here, even though I do still feel like she's miscast. But she does really carry this movie and Sam Levinson's career. There came a point about 20 minutes in where I'm like, this would have worked way better as like a 20-minute short that you just dropped on Netflix. We watched it. We got it over with. They went to bed because nobody wants to watch 100 minutes of two people fighting where the fight isn't even well-structured. It's mostly about the dude's film, and then it ends with no real satisfying conclusion. And I want you guys to know, anybody who's listening to this, this isn't my issue with this movie being a critic and feeling like I'm under attack. I've only been a critic for God knows like 2 fucking years. It just has to do with the writing. This is a serious writing problem. And once you're writing a 2-character, 1-location drama, your writing needs to be your fucking star as much as the stars are. And it just wasn't. It wasn't up to the task.
So I really think that everybody who hated Lockdown needs to give that a second watch.
Agreed.
After seeing this. Because I think I'm just echoing what most of you guys are saying. This is a piece of shit. It's a beautiful black and white piece of shit, but when the house has more character than the actual characters, you know, that's kind of a big problem. It's a problem that the movie never gets beyond, because these people, you can have protagonists that are unlikable. We all live in a sea of gray. Not everybody is meant to be likable, and this movie knows that, but it doesn't know how to make people that are engaging. Even on a watchability level, it's overlong. These characters, they're like nitroglycerin, and that really just not doesn't make for a very entertaining movie. I do like The Wizard of Lies. I think that Sam Levinson is capable of good work. This just isn't one of it. This movie is so unengaging. I ordered Instacart and paid a couple bills. And did some Amazon shopping during the middle of this thing. I'm not going to rewatch this again. It has flashes of moments, but it doesn't make up to a whole like satisfying experience. So I got to give this 5 out of 10. Dances around your home, which I wish I could do like John David Washington does, because I am not that slick when I'm dancing around my apartment.
Man. That should just be a compilation of its own. Just him making drinks and dancing.
That was a really great montage. I was like, oh, is this how we're starting out? Maybe people are wrong about this movie. No, it went downhill from there.
This movie looked like it was trying to sell a new fragrance that was maybe like Kraft mac and cheese and Parliament cigarettes.
Thank you so much, because as much as I loved how gorgeous the cinematography was, it all looked like you could take every single frame of this movie and just throw it in an Esquire magazine and be like, two of the hottest new actors today, John David Washington and Zendaya, pose.
Do you guys ever see those random perfume commercials where it's like Natalie Portman and Jennifer Lawrence? It's like Charlize Theron. That's what I thought. Like, they could just do like a whole commercial, like just throw Dior at the end of this movie. And it's by Calvin Klein. Pick it up at your local JCPenney's.
It's like Malcolm and Marie by Estee Lauder.